Hi, I'm John Raymond, web editor for sport here at The National. I'm joined today for the Extra Time podcast by Graham Cagill and my fellow web editor, John Turner. We're going to be talking about Wimbledon, which is entering the last 16 stages today or tomorrow. And just to kick things right off, let's talk a bit about Serena Williams. And she was pushed a little bit to the brink, you might say, by Heather Watson. So, I mean, the two of you, Graham, John, do you see any reason to really worry about her in this tournament?
I think at this stage, I think it's Serena. It's been kind of the same story for the last 2 years in grass, that she's still by far the best player, but her aura is kind of beginning to recede a little bit. She is fallible. Like, Heather Watson was serving for the match, and probably her nerves just got a little bit better. And we could be talking about one of the biggest upsets Wimbledon had ever seen. But as it is, Serena's still there, and I think she is unquestionably the strong favourite to go all the way now with the draw she's got coming up. But I do think probably her biggest threat is probably herself, because let's face it, John, she's always got either a tantrum or an injury just around the corner. You only have to look at the drama at the French Open.
Well, yeah, I think that's it, guys. I think with Serena, I think the lack of strength in the women's game at the moment kind of highlights how much better she is than anyone else. You know, don't get me wrong, she's a great champion and a standout women's player. But, I mean, really, if you look at what's left in the draw, I mean, who can really bother her, as you said, Graham, apart from herself? I mean, if she decides to turn up and keeps all of her toys in the pram and decides to just focus and play her game, then she's just going to simply power everyone off the court. You know, Heather Watson the other day pushed her as close as she's been pushed this year, probably the closest she will get pushed this year, and showed that there is a blueprint to beat Serena Williams if you can execute it. Of course, she fell slightly short. There is a kind of a resolve to Serena Williams that she may not show on the surface, because she does slump her shoulders and she does kind of drag her feet around the court when things aren't going her way, whether that's part of an act to try and lull her opponents into a false sense of security, I'm not quite sure. But, you know, she doesn't have great movement, so there are players out there that may be able to take advantage of that. But as you said, I think really what's left in the draw that can really stop her, Kvitova was probably the best chance, but she got knocked out yesterday, someone that can maybe match power with power. But really, I don't think there's anyone in the women's draw left that can really stop her.
I think the thing I'm most interested now in is who potentially could meet her in the final, because as you know, Kvitova going out has blown open the bottom half of the draw, because Wozniacki's the highest seed left in there as a fifth seed, but she's never been beyond the fourth round of Wimbledon. This is normally the bit where she looks quite good in the first week and then disappears. So it's really very hard to call who will get through to play in the final. So there's a lot of unknown names there. Madison Keys has looked quite good so far. So I think it's going to be quite interesting. You said, I don't know if it's going to be high quality tennis in the bottom half to draw, but I think it's certainly going to be very entertaining seeing who can raise a hand and get there.
Who realistically in the bottom half of the draw can she come up against then in the final? What are the leading contenders? Do you think Wozniacki can get that far? Or who does she have that can realistically give her a match, assuming that she gets through to the final?
I think what you've got to say, well, Wozniacki should be the favourite as a number five seed, but there's always been the question of her temperament. She's been around for a few years and never made it. It feels a bit harsh to look beyond Jankovic, really, because that was a sensational performance to put out Kvitova, who had looked so good early in the tournament. But with Jankovic, again, he's been around for so long and it's been stringing those performances together. Like, Radwanska's got to a final at Wimbledon before. She lost to Serena, I think it was 2012. And she probably has got the grass court game to do it, and she probably would be my pick. She got to the final at Eastbourne earlier last month. So that would be probably who I'm going with just about. But I do think it's because probably the hardest area of any of the men's or the women's draws to call, actually, who will be getting through from that side.
Well, moving then on to the men's side, kind of running with the theme of mortality, I guess, is Serena Williams mortal? We have found out in a very loud kind of way, in a very kind of visible way, that Rafael Nadal is pretty mortal at this stage in his career. What do you make of his exit? And does it signal a kind of permanent diminishedness from him, or is it just he's not that great on grass court, never has been that great on grass court?
I mean, it's a real difficult one to say, John, unless you're, you know, inside the Rafa Nadal camp or even inside his own head. I mean, I suppose the big shock about his exit this year was it wasn't actually that much of a shock. I mean, perhaps losing to someone like Dustin Brown, with all due respect, you would have thought Nadal, even this version of Nadal, would have been able to find a way to get past him. But, I mean, you look at his recent record at Wimbledon, you know, regardless of all the kind of the context surrounding them, I mean, he has been knocked out by guys ranked 100 and higher, as in 100 or higher in numbers, obviously, not rankings, in the last 3 years in early rounds. So, we shouldn't be too shocked by that. But, I mean, the context this year is a lot different, because the shock of previous years, where Nadal was still winning tournaments, still had a game about him. So it was an on-court shock, where the shock this year is now probably a realisation that the Rafa Nadal that we knew as the champion of a few years ago, someone that has consistently dominated clay court seasons, regardless of his ongoing injury problems, it seems that he doesn't exist anymore. Maybe he needs a lengthier time to try and find that game back or not. But I mean, at the moment, this point in time, it just doesn't look like he's going to get there.
Well, as you said, that's been the big issue this year, is the fact that he hasn't really been challenging. Even on clay, his favoured surface, he's only won one title all year, and that was in Argentina in February. In years gone past, we've kind of let Wimbledon kind of slide. This was the first year that they've actually had a three-week gap between the French and Wimbledon. This was almost set up for players like him who get to the last stages of Roland Garros to give him more time to recover. And that was almost kind of used as a mitigation, that his body couldn't handle doing 2 weeks at Roland Garros and coming pretty much straight to SW19. But he hasn't really got that this year, because he went out on a Wednesday in the quarterfinal. He had a full three-week period. So unfortunately, I am beginning to lean towards the fact that the way the whole year's gone, because if you look at it, he was ordinary at the Australian Open. Yes, he was probably a little bit rusty from his time out of injury, but it just hasn't come back, and there's been no sign of it coming back. So unfortunately, at the moment, I do think he has been sort of lost. He hasn't got the edge on power that he had over the other players before, and he does just look very mortal, and it's very, very hard to see, unless there is a drastic improvement or he takes some time out to work out ways of refining his game. It's very hard to ever see him winning another Grand Slam again.
I think one of the biggest worries as well, that even in past years when he was recovering from injury, he could always rely on that forehand that was probably less of a ground stroke, more of a sort of weapon of mass destruction. He could hide behind that and grind through and win titles and get to later stages of tournaments. That has just completely disappeared. I mean, his forehand looks like elementary. I mean, that's probably the most worrying thing about this. And it's really sad to see, because despite his on-court ferocity and intensity, he's known to be a real humble, kind of nice guy. And it's really a big shame to see, this unfolding to someone like that.
I think I've got kind of mixed emotions about it, because he's had such an amazing career already. So I'm impressed in a way. He's got nothing to prove to anyone in many ways. He's won everything there is to win in the game. So on the one hand, sort of like, I am quite pleased that it still bothers him going out to Dustin Brown. You could see the emotion in his face. He was frustrated. He still wants to win more tournaments at a stage, and he's guaranteed to be one of the most successful players to ever play the game. So in that way, I just kind of hope that he doesn't hang on too long. Like, if this is the end, I don't want to see him sort of like hanging around in the low 50s, 60s in the rankings. Like, if he feels he is done, or like, he can't play competitive, I don't want to see him just making up the numbers in that. It is just such frustrating to see such a great, because he's, as you mentioned, he's kind of lost his aura in many ways. And like players like Dustin Brown are now coming out onto court with absolutely no fear of playing him, really. They think, if I can play a good game, I've got a great chance. Well, previously, it was like, certainly with him and also with Roger Federer in the mid-2000s, I have to play a great game, probably just to get a few games off him here. And so that's gone. So I kind of hope that he thinks quite hard about what he wants to do and what he's hoping to achieve in his future years.
Shifting then to who's still in the tournament, it seems pretty straightforward. The top four seeds, Federer, Murray, Djokovic, obviously, and Stan Wawrinka, have all looked in differing parts excellent, have not looked especially challenged at any point. And so I guess what I'm wondering, is there anyone left in the field that you could see taking one of those four out? You guys were talking about Ivo Karlovic a little bit earlier, and what a strange kind of game he has, strange and fascinating and unique. He plays against Andy Murray tomorrow, and I don't think, I can't see him having that much of a chance. If Murray can return against him. I think he will. I don't think he'll be that troubled. But is there anyone else left? Because we've seen guys like Milos Raonic and Grigor Dimitrov really just fizzle out in this tournament. Kei Nishikori pulled out before, you know, he even got started. Is there anyone left out here that can shake it up?
In our Wimbledon preview podcast, John, we were picking our guys kind of outside the obvious to make the ladder stages, and one of the guys I chose was Berdic, and of course he's not a total outsider, of course, and he was shaking a bit yesterday, but I mean I expect him to still be around in a couple more rounds. And another guy who I'm struggling to warm to, because I mean his bad boy persona is now just becoming a bit brattish, is Nick Kyrgios, and I think that he's proving that he really does have the game to push on to the next level and join the elite within the next couple of years. He's clearly got no fear of anyone on court. Sometimes that overspills into kind of petulance, and it's not a very nice thing to watch, particularly at somewhere like Wimbledon that tries to uphold the higher morals of sport and things like that. But maybe he could still be around in a couple of rounds. Speaking about Ivo Karlovic, I'd like to give him a quick mention, because, I mean, the guys in the modern game, like we were talking about earlier, Milos Raonic and John Isner, guys like this that have built their games behind these massive serves. And they're lauded as having some of the greatest serves of all time. I mean, look at Ivo Karlovic, what he did to Tsonga yesterday. He never broke Joe Wilfred Tsonga, managed to still win in four sets. I mean, that serve that he has is something that I don't think I've ever seen before in the game. I mean, he really has nothing else to his game apart from that one first serve. Can you remember what the stats were for his aces yesterday? 45 aces or something like that, around about 80-odd% first. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, I can't see him getting past Andy Murray. And to answer your original question, I can still see Berdych around, and maybe Nick Kyrgios. I'm not sure about what you think, Graham.
I think Karlovic Murray will be fascinating, as you mentioned there, because I think we've just been looking at the stats, and Karlovic has 136 aces, 40 more than anyone else so far, and he hasn't played anyone as good a returning serve as Andy Murray, so that's got to give him hope. But you think if he does serve really, really well, and if he is popping up ace after ace after ace, it will be challenging for Murray, and it will be an interesting test of his temperament and staying calm and being able to take the opportunities or staying focused in the tiebreak, something that Tsonga wasn't able to do. I'm with you, and I quite like Kyrgios. Obviously, as with you, I don't really like some of the behaviour. I thought that the way he bounced a racket into the crowd was really not a very smart play at all, and he was lucky probably that could have been a lot worse, actually, potentially, if that racket had gone in and hurt someone. Obviously, we've seen what's happened before with Nel Bandian at Queens and such, but I like the way his draw's shaping up. I think, obviously, Gasquet has looked quite good in taking off down Dimitrov, but I think Kyrgios with his serve and his ground strokes from back of the court will fancy his chances there. And Stan Wawrinka is a potential quarter finalist and opponent. And I remember thinking this at the French Open, it's not really Stan's surface, but it's hard to write Stan off. But I think if you had to pick one of the top four to play in the quarterfinal, Wawrinka on grass would be the one you'd go for. And then Djokovic in the semi-finals is a possible, but and who knows that strength. But I think he is definitely the rising star, and we've been waiting so long for a youngster to come through and really sort of settle themselves in the top 10 and really step on tennis. And Kyrgios could be that guy. He kind of just needs to calm down on the antics away from the court.
Well, that's it. Like, I'm a big fan of, you know, big personalities and all the rest of it, but I just think he just takes it a bit too far. And, you know, sometimes we forget that he's only 20 years old, so I'm certainly not writing the guy off, and I certainly think he is a big talent. As you said, Graham, I just think he's still got a bit of growing up to do, and I'm sure he will. It's just kind of controlling that aggression into his tennis game and not all the swearing and shouting and ranting and raving that he's currently doing at the moment.
Absolutely, completely agree. So sort of to neck on the line time, who are you backing for the men and the women?
Still, despite his third set wobble yesterday against Seppi, I've still got Murray for the title, Graham, and that's not a very controversial pick for the women. I just can't see anyone stopping Serena Williams, so we're going to go for a Murray Serena winners.
Rather boringly, I'm probably going the same as you. I'm really hoping it's a Murray Djokovic final, because I think it'll be a great chance for Murray to exercise some of his demons. I think he's got a better grass court game than Novak, but I think, you know, Novak does bring the best out of him, and I think it should make for an amazing spectacle. And going back to the women, I just can't see anyone stopping Serena.
All right, well, thanks, guys. Again, that's been Graham Cagill and John Turner. I'm John Raymond. This is the National Extra Time Podcast. You can find it on the National Sport Twitter account, at NatSportUAE, or the National Multimedia Twitter account, at NSV UAE. It has been produced by DT Unikrishnan and the National Multimedia Desk. Thanks for listening.